Thanks for stopping by. As we get started here, a word of warning. While there aren't any flashing lights in what follows, I confess Texas Twiddle's politics are kind of a muddle. Seems he isn't always sure about the difference between woke and broke. That said, I think he means well, or at least he doesn't mean any harm, so to start. T. Texas Twiddle ponders his allure. Darling, does this buckle make my belly look big? And here's T. Texas, a lad. T. Texas Twiddle remembers learning the facts of life. This was 1939, maybe 1940, thereabouts, and T. Texas was just a boy, riding his first roundup with the men, who sat so easy in the saddle, their cigarettes seemed to roll themselves as they ducked the brim of their work Stetsons, then look back up and take that first draw, left hand lazy at their sides, the right holding the reins up for show, as a real fancy lady'd hold one of them bone china teacups, standing to be admired in Miss Maudie May's parlor. T. Texas had never been in Maudie May's, but he'd heard talk and seen pictures and thought it must be like that. T. Texas watched everything, trying to know what to do next. Especially he watched the men. It seemed their eyes were always on the horizon, steady, on the emptiness beyond the range of hills, as they drove the herd out from the gap and across the valley. T. Texas wondered what they saw in that empty sky beyond the hills and how many years it took to see it. But there was, he knew, no way to ask or for them to tell it. Later at the ranch, the cowboy with the white mustache sat on the pickup's running board. Leaning onto his knees, he tapped a line of Prince Albert the length of the paper as T. Texas watched closely, imagining his fingers would someday be so knowing. Neither of them paid the old cow any mind as she drifted up, lifted her tail, the brown stream spattering the door and down the side of the cowboy's face. The cowboy licked the paper's edge, rolled it, and flicked the match. T. Texas waited, as if he weren't shuffling his feet. "Ain't you gonna wipe it off?" "Nah," the cowboy said. "Comes off better dry." T. looked down at the toe of his boot, then up at the horizon, and waited. As you might guess, T's not a cappuccino kind of guy. T. Texas ponders the scene. T. Texas was drinking his Cafe Americano, back to the wall and watching the window, like a true cowboy should, and too watching the young'uns with their grande skinny what's it lattes, with who knows what sprinkled on top. God, what had the world come to? T. Tex cupped his cup, warming his hands, and remembering when Java, Joe, and Swill were all the same thing, as you leaned on the diner's counter, and an aproned cutie curtsied a fresh pot towards your mug. T. Tex surveyed the scene, the Java junk jockeys who knew they were cool, the kid staring at the tabletop like it was his navel and he might fall in, and Miss Spike in her tattoo shawl, wearing a dog collar and tonguing her foam like a kitten, testing a saucer of milk. These he sort of understood. It was the foursome at the middle table he couldn't figure out, their bowed heads bobbing as if to each other, and their fingers mumbling like they were nuns texting their beads, praying to be heard. And yes, T. Texas is into country music, but not so much the urban hick chick shtick, but the old stuff, the 40s and the 1950s. So, in which T. Texas Twiddle goes all Texas troubadour. When it come to music, T. Texas was deep into Ernest Tubb. Waltzing across Texas, and I hate to see you go. Now, true, he could make room for Bob Wills, and Panhandle Rag, and San Antonio Rose, and Roly Poly were the real stuff. But Bob was a dance hall kind of guy, all kick up your heels and yee-haw, hip flask and sweaty smile. It was Ernest who knew. The pine planks of walking the floor over you, with the wind doing steel guitar through the barn loft and the empty fields waiting for dawn, as if that would mean something. Ah, Billy Bird, pick one. Pick it pretty. So here we learn why T-Texas wasn't an NRA member. Why T-Texas wasn't NRA. Now, T-Tex did admire John Wayne. That stand your ground, slow to anger, high noon of draw, only when you must, shoot once and walk away. And Roy Rogers, too, because Roy could sing a pretty lead to the Sons of the Pioneers doing harmony. Yet still draw quick if Rustler Russ wouldn't blend his voice around the campfire. So yes, T-Texas was a Second Amendment kind of guy. Out on the trail you needed a Colt on your hip. Or better, a Winchester for that rattlesnake that might spook the herd. Or that stray deer fan-dancing some mesquite, flashing a little thigh and calling, "Hey, big guy, wouldn't I roast up nice for dinner?" But T-Texas wasn't that down with Dirty Harry or Rambo either. Too many bullets spoiled the meat. And he liked to hear the boys singing Home, Home on the range, dipping their sourdough in a little red eye. And between songs you could hear the stars like there was violins on the soundtrack. The next couple get kind of philosophical, but only sort of, because after all, this is T-Texas. T-Texas runs an errand. T-Texas was in need of a calendar. And so he moseyed down to Otto's Auto Parts for this year's 12-part harmony of Miss Honey and Miss Heather and all their demure friends. He was truly a connoisseur of all the ways a young lady could caress a carefully angled shock absorber, and how the lights and lens gleamed each chassis as if chamois shined. Ah, T-Texas could almost agree that what mattered was pure form, the platonic ideal more real than the real. But much as he loved the contemplative life, and took a scholar's pleasure in the multiple possibilities of spark plugs and pistons and the infinite array of positions, he was, in fact, more deeply committed to the materialism of dialectical interplay. And here's T-Texas Twiddle attempts ontology by way of epistemology, and probably he don't know neither of those words. Consciousness is Ptolemaic. Reality? Copernican. But truth? Well, that's something else again. Out there somewhere beyond your Stetson's brim and framed by that cell phone camera lens into those metered snips of light on the film strips crisscrossing your private darkroom, clothes pinned and dangling from the runs of twine, and two, the stacks of contact sheets of thumbnailed images as you page through searching for a way into the being of being. Well, after that, I think we need to go back to the ranch. So here's T-Texas Twiddle reflects upon his first roundup. The corral, a tent of dust. The hooves of the young steer scrabbling for footing as the cowboys held them down and the hot iron zzzed through the hair, charring the flank's blank page. Leaning on the rail, T-Texas could see the brown eyes roll the lolling tongues in ropey spit as the rancher's wife slipped her knife again and again through the sack's slack skin, a glint of light, then the dark blood, as she tossed the oysters into a pan, promising the cowboy she'd share if they held on tight. T-Texas wasn't old enough to understand that look in her eyes, but already he knew you didn't want to be the rancher. So T-Texas and politics? Sure, why not? This one's called T-Texas Joins the Party. Where T-Tex lived, wacky weed was still illegal, even if your bunions ached. So he thought he'd join the Tea Party and bought him some rolling papers, zipped his Zippo and went off to find the rally, all ready to be a true indivisible individual, declaring his liberty and death opposition to government handouts and hand jobs, because he was for damn sure tired of being jerked around and ready to stand his ground, and he was sure they would tell him just where that ground could be found and whether to flick his bick and wave it over his head or wave his middle finger instead. And either way, he was sure he'd be one with the founding fathers, and for damn sure didn't believe in government, 'cause every revolution is every man with a gun telling the man what to stick and where to stick it. And also, I guess I should confess, it seems T didn't sign up for the blue-collar comedy tour. So this one's called T-Texas. Contemplating his brethren, portraying his brethren, avers that there is indeed a difference between corn pone and corn ball. Though Jeff Foxworthy, who knows better but pretends he don't, can tell the difference between y'all and a yachter's y'all, and knows a tuxedo ain't a napkin under your chin, as in tux, let's eat-o, and two, that a daisy chain and a double wide ain't a redneck rondo. There's money in bubba-dum, as in bubba-dum, and true some bubbas are pretty damn dumb. But as T-Tex knew, there's a difference between corn pone and corn ball. One you et 'cause you were poor and had to. The other, oh, it's all crackerjack. And always at the bottom, a two-bit piece of shit plastic toy stuck to that sugar-coated peanut just to make you feel like fate done flashed you a beaver shot and flipped you off as she walked away, leaving you with your hand full of that empty foil package. T-Texas and Derrida? Well, kinda. In which T-Texas is not thinking of the snowman, or the coke dealer on the corner, or how he'd been snow-jobbed at Wally's Wonder World of Used Cars, a.k.a. to signify or not to signify, that is the question. T-Texas had heard that Cousin Jimmy Joe's nephew, Billy Bob, who lots of folks called the Bobber, for no good reason he could think of, was telling folks there was a difference between something called a signifier and the signified, and that this meant words didn't mean nothing. Now you could, he thought, see this as a reason not to let the young'uns go off to school. But being young was a time to fool around, then you had to marry and settle down. Too much gunplay and someone's daddy'd take that shotgun off the wall. Shoulda, boy, kept that safety on, or better, left it in the holster. All this, of course, in a manner of speaking. Anyway, T-Texas sure as shit knew that words meant something. When you stepped in it and muttered, shit, that shit, what could be plainer than that? As folks did say, it happens. And if it ain't don't, goose grease was a surefire load lightener. Such silly words. In spite of himself, T-Tex found he was wondering if he was a signified or a signifier. Or maybe he was just signifying. He'd heard Leroy down at the feed store say, don't you be signifying. And maybe Leroy'd set him straight. He sure as shit wasn't going to ask the Bobber, who already knew that he didn't know nothing, but didn't know enough to know that nothing's already a lot to know. And this one with apologies to Randy Newman. T-Texas Twiddle declares independence from the lamestream media with apologies to Randy Newman. And it starts with a bit adapted from a Randy Newman song that many of you will recognize. We're liberals, liberals, can't tell our ass from a hole in the ground. We're liberals, liberals, keeping the rednecks down. When T-Tex heard that song on K-Hick Radio, He did give the word some thought, then paid him no mind. Rednecks, he knew, didn't need no one keeping them down. They mostly did that on their own. So he cashed his Social Security check, fished his MasterCard out of the sock drawer, and headed for Best Buy to check out them new 3D TVs. That hole between the window and the front room of the double wide sure needed something. And this last one, these are some little things that T-Tex noticed shopping for a T-shirt at the swap meet. T-Tex shops the swap meet for T-shirt wisdom. Long haul beats real beats image. Short haul, image can do real good. When you're riding hard uphill on the bicycle of love, wear a cup. Sometimes the chain breaks. Learning's not the same thing as changing. Just 'cause something's real, don't make it true. If you have to think twice, shouldn't have thunk once. You can't tell a book by looking at the cover, and you can't tell a man by looking at the buckle. Sometimes big and shiny is just big and shiny. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Less it's real dark night, then it's all what you believe in. Don't count on the radio. There's no station out there playing Ernest Tubb. And if your halls cross Texas, there's times you gotta hear something real. Thanks for your time and stopping by.